turn your eyes to me.
Hallelujah.
Souls of men, that Father, only to praise Thee would satisfy us. So Father, we want to satisfy Thee upon this day by praising Thee, Lord. Father, thank You for an opportunity once again to look unto Thee, to humble ourselves before Thee, to bring ourselves before Thee upon this evening. Father, just wanting Thy will to be done. Just be glorified in Your word. Be glorified in the midst of your people. Be glorified in all that should be said and all that should be done. Thank you for song worship. Thank you, Father, for an opportunity for us to forget about ourselves. Thank you for prayer that has been offered in this place, even upon this evening. Father, thank you for grace and for mercy. Father, for calling us as your people.
Hallelujah.
In this late hour. Thank you, Father, that we know one another. Thank you, Lord, for brothers and sisters of like precious faith. Would you bless your people, them that haven't managed to come, even as has been prayed. Would you pray for them, Lord? Watch over them, Lord. Even our brother with his knee, Brother Shep, I pray that you'll touch him. Father, strengthen him, Lord. We ask and pray. Give him a quick recovery, Lord. And Father, we're looking unto thee. Father, how
Hallelujah.
Wonderful it is to come unto thee. How wonderful to wait upon thee, Lord. Father, just wanting, Lord, to sit at your feet this evening. Teach us, Lord. Give us a teachable spirit, Lord. Give us humility in our souls. Help us to submit ourselves unto thee, that your will may be done. Give us divine wisdom, Father, that which is beyond that which Solomon had, the wisdom of Jesus. Father, we seek that upon this day. So bless your people. Bless us now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hallelujah.
And saints, we do greet you this evening. In Jesus' name, I'm not sure if this is it working. Can you hear me? Testing 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. Can somebody just plug it in? Or do you want me to use this one here? Yeah, that's okay. Let's open our Bibles, Genesis chapter 10, saints. We want to answer just one question tonight. We won't finish it tonight. It's a big one. I like the big questions, don't you? And when you have people worshiping, the way people are worshiping, it's very helpful. Because once you get into questions and answers, you really do desire people to be together with you in the things that you're going through. So let's read Genesis chapter 10. We'll read from verse 1 and verse 32. It says, now these are the generations of the sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And unto them were sons born after the flood. So the common ancestry of man. Read verse 32, the last verse in the chapter. These are the families of the sons of Noah, after their generations in their nations. And by these were the nations divided in the earth after the flood. So the Bible showing us now that we all have a common ancestry. You know, showing it after the flood, unless you are serpent seed, every single one of us, we came from one of these three sons of Noah. We came from Ham, or Shem, or we came from Japheth. Those are the three ancestors of man. You may be seated, saints. Do you want me to put this on, bro? Okay, bro. Okay. Let's also read while we sit in John chapter 4. Just to see what the Lord Jesus Christ speaks about the kingdom of God as well. John chapter 4, when the Lord Jesus is speaking to the woman at the well, we know the scripture well. And we know that this issue of racism, tribalism, and all these kind of things, it's, as the prophet says, it's in every culture. You'll find it all the time. It doesn't matter who or where you go, it's just something in fallen man that one man wants to think himself better than another. You know, and that's something which I think is really well expressed in John chapter 4. John chapter 4, verse 20. The Samaritan woman says, our fathers worshipped in this mountain. And you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, woman, believe me. The hour cometh when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. And then Jesus explains why. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So I think we just need to lay a bit of a foundation on the question that we wanted to look at this question, which has been asked me many times, about mixed marriage. So I wanted to lay a bit of a foundation first. You know, many times when you read in the Bible of different things, the important thing is to get the foundation of something. You know, and to really lay a good foundation, as the prophet would always do. The prophet says, in Christ is revealed in his own word. He says, in using God's word, there's three things you must not do. We know them. It says, the first thing, do not misinterpret the word. So I think each and every one of us, to be faithful witnesses, we want to make sure that if we take the word, you want an right interpretation. And the prophet says, God is his own interpreter. And God's word will interpret God's word.
If you will take all of the pieces of the jigsaw puzzle and put them together, you'll find that quotes will answer quotes. And you'll find that as long as you're looking at a big picture and you know basically what you're looking at, like we said the other day, that everything will dovetail, the prophet says. The prophet says, I'm going to preach messages that will dovetail all scripture. That's what he said. So we should be able to bring a complete picture. So we don't want to misinterpret the word. He says, you say, well, I believe it means this. It means just what it says. It needs no interpreter. And you must not misplace the word. So to misinterpret is to understand or to explain something in the wrong sense. To misplace is to put it in the wrong place. So you're taking something that belonged maybe under the old covenant and you're trying to bring it under the new covenant. You're taking something which was for the Jews and you're trying to bring it to the Gentiles. Then you're trying to isolate, you're trying to take scriptures, but you're not using them in the right place. Then the final thing he says, and you must not dislocate the word. Now to dislocate is to put it out of its proper place. You know, so God has made things that if we do catch his mind, if we do catch his thought and his purpose, no matter what it is that you can take from the scripture, if you take a single scripture, just as much as if you take the message and you take a single quote, no, it's the prophet says you can make anything say anything. Now you can take a certain quote and you can run yourself down a certain line. But if you take things from the beginning to the end and you try to bring a reconciliation of everything that's inside of the word, the prophet says if you're going to teach something, make sure you can fill it from Genesis to Revelation. If you're going to teach something from the message, make sure that you can take it all the way from 1946, 1947, all the way to 1965. Trace it through and understand now how the prophet brought his things across. Remember when Satan took Jesus up on the mountain and he said, throw yourself down because it's written. The angels will bear you up. He says, yes, but again it is written. You know, so Satan can sometimes come, and I've seen people do that even in the message, taking certain parts of the message or taking certain things from the Bible, you can make it say anything. But the important thing is to see, but what is also written? So that's what you wanted to look at today. Maybe we'll have to have another session next week. But getting into these things of marriage and divorce, you need to really look overall at what the prophet says. Don't ever fall into the trap of just isolating certain quotes and just sticking on certain things. But try to trace something through from the beginning to the end. And I really do believe that the message is such a powerful thing when you do that. And that's how the prophet says Christ always used the word in that kind of a way. Now, the quote which got Brother Donnie Reagan into an awful lot of trouble. To the saints who know what happened to Brother Donnie. When he took this particular quote from Questions and Answers, and it's gone around the world. I was searching it even today. I think in every nation in the world, people call him the most racist pastor in the world and all those kind of things. Now, the people who do that, they don't know the message. And we'll see that tonight. I really just want to show you. Take what Brother Donnie used, the Questions and Answers, 30th of August, 1964. And let's trace this thought through the message. And let's see, what is the prophet really saying here? What is he trying to teach us? So the prophet says, Questions and Answers, number 4. It's paragraph 166. Now, I don't believe in mixing marriages. I believe that a white man should not marry a colored girl. Or a colored girl marry a white man. Or a yellow man marry a colored or a white. If you can put it up there for us, brother, that may be good. We'll read that one. Put the first line. Yes, this is the one. I don't believe in mixing marriages. I believe that a white man should not marry a colored girl. Or a colored girl marry a white man. Or a yellow man a colored or a white. And he continues on. Next slide, please. He says, I believe the brown, black, white, and races of people or like a flower garden of God. He says, and I do not believe they should be crossed up. I believe the way God made them. And I believe they should stay the way that God made them, that's the way they should remain. Now this quotation, taken in the wrong hands, is being used against the message to say that the message is racist. Or the prophet was racist, or the prophet had some kind of agenda. So there's three things we need to look at here. The first thing, we need to address the accusation that the prophet was a racist. And I think if we can really knock that one on the head, it's going to help us to understand what is he trying to say here. The second thing, there's a teaching going even around in the message that mixed race people are hybrids. You will see that. There's certain sections of the message. I've spoken to brothers and argued with brothers about that. So I thought maybe it's a strong topic. We're going to have to shake this one properly. And then we're getting in. By looking at those things together, we'll really get an overall understanding of what the prophet is saying here about mixed marriage, interracial marriage. So let's have a look at the different cultures in the world. The prophet takes us all the way back to the beginning. He says, we all come from a common ancestry. So right from the beginning, we need to always bear that in mind. Every single person sitting here, we're relatives. Amen. Every single person here, we're from the same gene pool. Amen. Now, we're no different in our genetics. No matter what your skin color is, your culture, your background, the color that you came, the country you come from, every single one of us came from Noah. And before that, every single one of us came from Adam. From Adam through to Noah, then Noah had three sons, Ham, Shem, and Japheth. Those were the three sons of Noah. And every single one of the nations of the world has been populated from these three sons. So let's keep that in mind as we get into this topic, is that every single one of us here is of the same species. Every single one of us here is a human being. Every single one of us, we can take blood. If you have the same blood group, you all have human blood. If I'm O positive, I can take your blood. If you AB, if you whatever, rhesus negative, whatever the blood groups are, you can take from any color of person and you can give them blood. So we don't want to like misunderstand what the prophet's trying to say here. But in all cultures since the beginning of time, civilizations of the devil. And civilization has waged war against the purposes of God. If we go right back to the beginning when God raised up different nations, and the prophet goes to show us after the flood, after the Tower of Babel, the scattering of the nations. How we find the children of Japheth, you know, they became the ancestors of the Anglo-Saxons and the Europeans. And we find Ham, he went down, he became the ancestor of the African people. You find Shem became the Semitic people, the Jews and those people in that area. You find each of them developed a skin color, a language, a culture. Each of them developed traditions. It was all part of them growing up together as a group. And before civilization comes in, before big cities came in, and there was a mixing and a melting pot of people, like the prophet says, to bring all different cultures and all different nationalities together, it was very common, it was just normal for each culture, for each tribe of people to guard its culture, to guard its traditions. And to do that, they used to marry among themselves. If you had gone to Zimbabwe in the 1600s, 1700s, you wouldn't find a Ndebele marrying a Shona. You wouldn't find that. You wouldn't have found, I'm sure, in Burundi and that the Hutus marrying the Tutsis. No, you wouldn't have found in those kind of situations, say like you've got to South Africa, the Khoisas and the Zulus, you wouldn't find them intermarrying. Now, no one would look at that in culture and say, these people are being racist. They weren't being racist. What they were doing, they were trying to protect their culture and their identity. Because God had made them a certain way, God had given them a certain culture, allowed that to develop, given them a certain place which they were allowed to live, given them certain traditions which they wanted to keep, different languages as well. So the way to safeguard that, you would marry among yourselves. If I was a Zulu, I want my children to be Zulu. I want them to understand the Zulu customs. I want them to speak the Zulu language. So if I'm a Zulu, I'm going to try to marry a Zulu. And I'm going to marry a Zulu so that my children are going to be like me and my wife. And then I'm going to teach them with the same color of skin, the growing up in the same, you know, ethnic, diverse group that we are. And then I can easily keep on my traditions. And you find it right to this day. You'll find whenever you go to a big city, you'll find the Greeks have their Hellenic hall. You know, they'll have their own place where the Greeks marry. And the Greeks would like their daughters and sons to marry other Greeks. No one looks at the Greeks and says, that's racism. So why is it people look at what the prophet says there? It says, if God made a person a white man, why doesn't he stay as a white man? If God makes a person a yellow man, you know, why does a Chinese person? The Chinese are very, very protective of their culture. Until civilization comes in and perverts the whole thing. That the Chinese people, they want to teach the Chinese traditions. They want to teach their children the Chinese language. So what do? They keep themselves in a group of people and they marry among themselves and they have clubs and groups and teach their children from when they're young the things that make a person Chinese. That doesn't mean a Chinese person is trying to say he's better than a Japanese person. Doesn't mean he's trying to say he's better than an African person. These are the distinct groups that God made from the beginning of the world. When he scattered the nations and he allowed the different languages. So straight away we can see when the prophet says that we are like the flower garden of God. You know, there's a diversity in God's flower. Doesn't mean any flower is better than the other. Just because you're saying let the pink flowers stay pink and let the white flowers stay white, you're not saying the white flower is better than the pink flower. But the problem is many of us grew up under a racist culture. Us from Zimbabwe, we grew up under racialism, where there was segregation. If you were from South Africa, there was apartheid. In different countries, there were the French colonists, and they came, and the white people thought they were supreme, and they were the Belgians, and they subjugated the African people. The Irish were under the British. You know, these things, it's man ruling over man. So when the prophet says these kind of things, and he says, I believe that's the way God made them, and I believe that's the way they should remain. There's nothing wrong with what he's saying. Because when we go to the Greeks, we're not going to say, but you Greeks, you better go and marry people that aren't Greeks. They're going to say, but we're Greeks. Our ancestors were Greek. We want our children to grow up knowing about Greek. You see, we want to keep it within our society. So this is what the prophet is speaking about here. There's no racism in what he's saying. Now, I know Brother Donnie, he's very confrontational in his preaching. You know, when he preaches something, he wants to like contend. And that's what got him in a lot of trouble because of the way maybe he put it across. But the prophet's not saying anything different than you're going to learn in sociology here. And I just want to show that this, especially when you look at the children of Israel, they say that the children of Israel, right from the beginning, they were organized as tribes. And you go and read in the Bible. And you'll find in each of those tribes, like the tribe of Levi were encouraged to marry within the tribe of Levi. Elizabeth and Zechariah were of the tribe of Levi. That was the course they were of. So they could keep their culture, their traditions. The Levites, although they were all part of the chosen people, but they had a specific role and a function to play. So it was going to be far easier if a man's a priest to marry a woman whose father was a priest. And his grandfather, she knows the culture, she knows her tradition, she knows what's involved in his diet that he needs, how he needs to prepare himself for the temple. It's just going to make it a lot easier for the man. Yeah, he can go and marry. It didn't mean he had to marry from his tribe. You could go in and marry from another tribe, but it's going to put some complications in your marriage. It's not going to be as easy a Levite marrying somebody who didn't grow up in the tribe of Levi. Because a tribe of Levi doesn't understand the culture, doesn't understand all the ins and outs of the traditions of Levi, the specific role that Levi has to play. You know, so it's going to make it a lot easier inside of your life if you marry someone who understands you. You know, it's going to make it a lot easier inside of your life if you're going to have children that are the same color as you. It's going to make it a lot easier. That's all the prophets tried to say, and we'll see it as we go along. This particular thought that nations gather around and cultures gather together and they bind themselves is called endogamy. That's what it's called in sociology. Anybody who's done social studies, you'll know it. If you can put the slide, I'll just read what they say about it. Endogamy is the practice of marrying within a specific ethnic group or class or social group. That's what it's called. It's given a term. Rejecting others on such a basis as being unsuitable for marriage or other close personal relationships. So the Jews believed 100% in endogamy. The Jews must marry Jews. If somebody was going to come from without, if Rahab's going to want to come out, she's going to have to go through a conversion. She's going to have to go through certain rituals and traditions, and she becomes like an honorary Jew. And only once she's adopted the customs and she's left her pagan idols, left all of her culture and so forth, and has adopted this culture, she could then marry Salmon. And Salmon now could be legally married. Boaz couldn't marry Ruth if she had stayed in Moab. He would have been going against the principle of God's word. But when she left her God, she left her father's house, she left her traditions, and she crossed that Jordan, and she came into the promised land and said, your people will be my people, your God will be my God. Where you die, I'll die. No. Then Boaz could look at her and say, okay, she's not quite of the same ethnic group as me under the old covenant, and he could marry her. Then she could come in as an ancestor of the Lord Jesus Christ. But it was guarding now and protecting a culture and identity. Now Satan wants to break down identity. That's what he wants to do. Friends, we as message believers have spiritual endogamy. We believe message believers must only marry message believers. It's not that we're saying we're better than other people, but to protect what you believe, to protect who we are. We say, don't go and marry from out there. If you want to marry someone from out there, let them come in here first. Let them renounce their worldly culture, their worldly ideas, worldly fashions. Let them come and prove themselves that they have the same vision and purpose and aim here. Then you can marry them, that's okay. But don't go out there and marry. And that's why Eliezer was told, if the woman doesn't want to come here, you don't take my son there. You don't take my son. Rather, he stays single rather than he goes out of this, which is our inheritance that God has given us. Our God-given portion to God from here. So this is something you're going to find in the Word from the beginning. The prophet's not teaching anything different here. It's just our racist attitudes we've had from the past. We get it into what the prophet's saying. We say, the man's trying to be a racist. He's trying to say that a black person can't marry a white person. He's not saying that. He's saying if God made you white, he's given you a culture, he's given you a language, he's given you an upbringing. Your mother was like that, her mother was like it, your father was like it, his father was like it. So why don't you stay like that? That's all that he's trying to say. That's exactly what he's saying here if you go and read this quote. And it makes perfect sense. It makes perfect sense. So endogamy, please go to the next one just to show. Certain groups, they say in endogamy, such as Orthodox Jews, have practiced endogamy as an inherent part of their religious beliefs and traditions. They've always done that, the Jews. They've always done what Brother Branham's saying. Why don't you do this? That's how the Jews were from the beginning. God told them, don't go and marry those other people. Don't go and take their customs and their traditions. You have your inheritance, you have your land, you have your portion, you have your purpose that I've given for you. Make everything, your marriage, your family structure, everything work towards that purpose. That's what he had said. If you go to the next one, please. Why do you want endogamy? It helps a community to resist integrating and completely merging with surrounding populations. So the Greeks, they know, look, we're going to go and live in New York City. If we're not careful, our children aren't going to be Greeks after a while. Our children are not going to know anything about Greek. They're not going to go any of the traditions which have made us a distinct people ever since God made us. So we need to find some way, some community way that our children can marry Greek children, that we have social clubs, we have different gatherings, we have different things of language where they can learn the language and the tradition. Now, we don't look at them and say, those people think they're better than us. We don't do that. We just say, these people are protecting their culture. They're protecting their God-given identity. And the prophet is saying to us, protect your God-given identity. If you're an African person, be happy. That's what God made you. Why do you want to be different than you are? Why do you want to change your children to be something that you aren't? That's what he's saying. Now, we'll balance that down the way with other things he said. I said we'll get into it a bit. But first, we just want to get onto this one here to show that the prophet was not speaking of anything racist when he's saying this. So it says that helps, endogamy helps minorities to survive over a long time as distinct communities within societies with other practices and beliefs. This is a defense, it's a protection for you to maintain your characteristics of the identity, which are your God-given rights. Because when God made me a white man, he didn't make a mistake. When God made you a yellow man, he didn't make a mistake. When God made you a black man, he didn't make a mistake. He knew what he was doing. There was a purpose. We'll see it later why he made you like that. Because each of these ethnic groups has different characteristics. They've got different natures and temperaments which God needs to make the whole picture. So God says, keep it the way that it is. That's the way I made you for a specific purpose. That's what he's going to say. If you go to the final one, sister. Thus, in Israel, the practice was to marry within the tribe. And if that was not possible, then within the larger tribal confederation. So if you couldn't marry a Levite, you'd marry, but you'd never get out of the children of Israel and go and marry. You wouldn't go somewhere else and marry. Yeah, so that's basically what it's speaking about here. We're trying to maintain our God-given distinctions. Now let's look at this allegation of racism against the prophet. This is from the message, Questions and Answers on Hebrews, 1957, paragraph 602. So somebody can go and read it themselves. Now the prophet says, When I first got converted, I met Brother George Diak and them down there. And the Lord led me to a little place and they were discussing where the colored man came from. Now, you're going to have to understand, friends, the prophet grew up. And the prophet lived in a time not like it's in America now. Amen. He grew up in the days of Martin Luther King. He grew up in the days of segregation, in the days when there was great struggles going on for people's rights. You read it in the message, the prophecy in the south. When he went to Mishawaka that time, he said they had to have it in the north. They couldn't have it in the south because coloreds and white people couldn't mix together in a religious gathering. It was a serious thing. It's like I grew up in the similar thing in Zimbabwe until I was 13 years old. No, Brother George and Brother David, who are mixed race, and Brother Tony, they lived in a different neighborhood. They had their own suburb, Nashville. The African people had their own townships. The white people had their own areas we'd live. No colored person, mixed race person could live in our area. We had our school, Thornhill, just for white people. Brother Tony and them went to Nashville school. Others went to Ascot school. That's how it was in Zimbabwe, under the systems of man. Same as in South Africa under apartheid. Now the prophet, when he's preaching these things, bear in mind, it's like that in America. Amen. So sometimes when people are going to ask him questions that you'll think and say, but hey, how can a message believer ask a question like that? No, bear in mind that it's the people grew up, they'd been conditioned by a certain level of society. No, but the prophet, look what he says here. He says, they were discussing where the colored man came from. And they were trying to say that the colored man, that Cain married an ape, and through there came forth the colored race. The prophet says, now that's wrong. Absolutely, that's wrong. And don't never stand for that. Because there was no colored or white or any difference, it was just one race of people until the flood. So until the flood, there was one race of people. So every single one of us can trace ourselves back to the same color, the same everything before the flood. We had a common ancestor that was the same color. He says, then after the flood and the Tower of Babel, when they began to scatter out, that's when they took their colors and so forth. We know when people went and lived in different places and diet and different things, whatever causes it. He says, but they all came from the same tree. That's right, Adam and Eve was the father and mother earthly of every living creature of human beings that's ever been on the earth. So every single one of us here is brothers and sisters. Every single one. That's why my message that I'm calling it skin deep. That's what we're calling it, skin deep. The difference in our color is only skin deep. The difference in color is just a pigmentation of our skin. That's all that it is. It's nothing to do with your soul. It's nothing to do with anything. We all have the same color soul. We all have the same color spirit. All of us here, the only difference in this is the pigmentation of our skin. You see, we'll see when the prophet goes on. He says, I might express this while I'm on it. The people now here in these segregations, there were these big marches and so forth, Luther King and that. And the communists were trying to get involved and stir up revolution in America at that time. He says, and these laws of things that they're passing, I think it's ridiculous. Let the people alone. They know what they want. God made a colored man, and he's happy about it. Absolutely. If God made me a colored man, I'd be happy about it. He says, if he made me a yellow man, I'd be happy. God made us in our colors, and he made us the way he wanted us, and we all his children, absolutely. Absolutely. He says, and they shouldn't fuss on carry on like that. The colored man, he doesn't want to get out there and break up his generation or his color. He's saying the genuine colored man, he just wants to live in peace. He just wants equal opportunity. He just wants to be able to get the same job, live in the same neighborhood, get on the same bus as other people. He says, don't say that these people are wanting to come and change their color or change their culture. He says, they're just wanting freedom to be the same as all the other color groups in America. He says, he's not trying to break up his generation or his color and mix it in with white people and things like that. He says, I don't blame him. The colored man has got things white man doesn't even possess, absolutely. He's got a disposition about him that the white man never does have. So God made African people with a certain disposition. He made white people with a certain disposition, Anglo-Saxons and so forth. He made us all different. Each of us have a certain temperament, a certain nature. That's how we respond to different kinds of music, respond to different kinds of things. And God did that for a purpose. So the prophet saying, yes, let's give people all. Let's make everyone equal because everyone's equal in the eyes of God. But you don't force integration and force these ones to go and marry these ones and so forth. So don't do that. He says, that's not natural because God gave a colored man a certain disposition. And look how he goes on to explain it. And he says, that's his possession. That's your inheritance from God. He says he doesn't want to mix it with some other race and break it out either. So he's saying if God makes you with a certain disposition, if you're going to go and mix with another color, another race, another group, ethnic group, you're going to change that disposition as well. You know, so you've got certain character traits depending on your ethnic origin. And if God made it like that, and we'll see it even with the prophet, that God made the prophet the way that he was. The prophet says, I met a certain man at a Chicago meeting. This is in Spoken Word Original Seed, paragraph 20. He says, a colored man was sitting there and he kept saying, I want to see Dr. Branham. He had a great big hat on, big crosses, 8 or 10 inches wide and long, dressed very strange, funny rings and beads and so forth. I said to Brother Baxter, my associate, tell him, bring him in the room, I'll see him. And he sat down and said, shall I regard you as father or as reverend or as elder? What do you want me to regard you as? I said, if you love me, call me brother. And he in respect did so. And he gave me his title, which it would take a few lines to write across a paper. The titles of the name of his church and his title in the church. But he said one thing that always stuck with me. He says, I'm interested in this, Brother Branham. I'm interested in one race. That's the human race. I said, there's where we'll shake hands. Then the prophet says, the human race, to everybody, to every creed, every color, every person that Christ died for, that's my interest this morning, and I've always tried to make that my interest. The prophet was only interested in one race, that was the human race. That's all that it was. And he proved it from the beginning of the message to the end. But where did it come in? It started after the flood. Please put the next one, sister, just to show. So this is the nations from Genesis chapter 10. Japheth, he went up to the north, the isles of the Gentiles. You can read the whole of Genesis 10. It'll show you where now the sons of Noah went. Ham, he was given part of Canaan. He was given parts over here. He was given Africa, Ethiopia, Libya, those places. Then you find Shem now, including Abraham and Ur and stuff. You know, the Semitic people, they were given this portion of the earth. So each person after the flood divided and went out. If you put the next one, and then we started, this is from the Egyptian pyramids and so forth, then each one started to get his own color. You know, his own hair started to grow in different ways, and the different things, the diversity that God built in us to adapt to our climate and our diet and different things. So we started getting diversity, but these were all the sons of, that came from Noah, came from the same man. And let's not forget that, friends. Doesn't matter what color somebody is here, we all came from the same ancestry. Every single one of us, in the eyes of God, there's no difference between somebody because of their color. God doesn't know color. God is a spirit. God has no color. God doesn't know those things. He doesn't have those things. Racism, tribalism, and so forth are the works of the flesh. It's the fallen man. But once someone's born again, he knows no color. The Holy Ghost in a man knows no color. No color whatsoever. You find someone still raceless and they're not born again. They're not born again. The new birth takes those things out of a man. The new birth, because if God is no respecter of persons and God is in you, you're going to see all people the same as well. If you have the Spirit of God. That's why the prophet, he speaks about that, about God being colorblind. And Jesus said the same thing when he met the woman of, he says, God is a spirit. She was trying to say, but our people, who was she from? From the Samaritans. She was from a different ethnic group than Jesus. Jesus, earthly speaking, he was from Shem. That's where he came from the seed of Abraham down that line there, through David, son of David. So now there were two different groups meeting there. And she's trying to say, but our people say we must worship in Mount Gerizim, in the mountain. You people say you must marry in Jerusalem. Jesus said, look, the days come, my friend, if only you knew it. God's not interested in any of those things. They that worship God, they worship Him in spirit and in truth. It's not in the mountain, in the city. You worship Him in spirit and in truth. That's what the new birth was about to bring. Even if you go down and have a look in Egypt, when it came to the last plague in Egypt, it didn't matter if you were Egyptian or if you were Jew. God didn't look at your color. He looked at the blood. There were two groups of people, those that were under the blood and those that weren't under the blood. And friends, when it comes to the rapture, there's two groups of people. There's the redeemed, who are fully redeemed under the blood, and there's the rest. That's it. That's the way how God distinguishes things now. Those who are under the blood and those who aren't under the blood. That's the distinguishing factor. It doesn't matter about anything else inside of a person. Skin color means nothing, because the Egyptians were the children of Ham. Israel were the children of Shem. And both of them could be saved at that time by just coming under the blood of the Lamb. God wasn't looking at which group they were from. He was looking at whether they were under the blood. In the Message 1956, Infallible Word of God, the prophet's in a prayer line. And he says, how do you do? We're strangers to one another. She's a colored lady. He says, there's another picture about the time I was just quoting about Jesus and the woman at the well. A colored lady, a white man. Then it was a Jew and a Samaritan. And there was a racial affair in them days. Friends, this racial affair never ends. It's in every age. This is Infallible Word of God 5604-06 E71. He says, there was a racial affair in them days. And there's always been because of the color of a person's skin. But Jesus let her know there was no difference in God. We're all God's children. That's right. All the offspring of Adam. The countries we're raised in turned us different colors. It has nothing to do with our Creator. He's the Almighty God who made us. And He made us after His own way, His own desire, His own fashion. God is the God of variety. Now friends, those people who say the prophet is racist, they never went to read what the prophet says. They never listened to the message. They're not witnesses of anything. They just take an isolated quote and they misquote it. That's how the prophet says, don't dislocate. Don't misplace. Don't misinterpret. Everything's got a dovetail. Bring it all together. Let's see all the things that he said about something. He says it in, who is this Melchizedek? Paragraph 144. Speaking about racial segregation in the days of Jesus, the Samaritans and so forth. He says there's only three races of people on earth, if we believe the Bible. Ham, Shem, and Japheth's people, the three sons of Noah. We all sprung from there. That's right. That makes us all back from Adam, which makes us all brothers. The Bible says, Acts 17, verse 26, of one blood, He made all nations to dwell upon the face of the earth. Not the same blood type, but it's human blood. You can't take animal blood and give it to somebody, a human being. But in the whole human race, among the different blood groups, you can take from any ethnic group. As long as I'm an O positive, as long as someone's O positive, doesn't matter which part of the world he lives, I can get a blood transfusion from him. Shows we all came from one blood. He's my brother. So the difference between me and him is skin deep. It's just, that's as deep as the difference is. It's just the pigmentation in his skin. But God wanted it to be like that. And he's going to have different traditions and different culture, different customs. You're going to eat different food than me. You're going to have a different upbringing, different ancestry than me. And God made me like this and he made you like that. So why don't you stay the way you are and let me stay the way that I am? And let's respect one another as believers. And we do, because we do it in the Spirit. And we have the most important thing. We have a spiritual tradition called the message of the hour. That's the great thing that binds us together. When Hudson Taylor and them went to China to preach to the Chinese, evangelize the Chinese people, the other missionaries had gone before and made it a mess. They wanted all the Chinese to dress like Europeans. And they wanted to build churches like European churches. And Hudson Taylor says, this is nonsense. He says, in everything that is not sinful, let them stay Chinese. Let them worship in Chinese dress, in buildings of Chinese architecture, using the Chinese language. Let them keep everything which is not sinful, because that's the way God made them. Why should we try to make somebody like us? Because the gospel didn't come from the Europeans, it came from the East. So if that's the principle, then we all need to wear robes and we need to all go and live in tents like they did in the gospel days. That's not the way that it is. But he knew that. He says, respect everything that's not sinful. If in your culture, anything that's not sinful, keep your culture. When you become a believer, you don't have to change your culture. You have to change everything that's sinful. That's what you've got to separate from. You don't have to change your language. You don't have to change anything like that. And it's good for you to teach those things to your children. That's your identity. That's your God-given possession in this earth. Just as much as Israel was given their earthly possession, their earthly characteristics and identity and purpose that God gave them, he's given it to every single one of us as well. And that's what the prophet from the beginning of the message to the end is trying to push at and say, stay what you are. Because God made you like that for a purpose. It's not saying anybody's better than anybody else. He's always saying no one's different than anybody else. He's not saying that at all. So they had that. The prophet says, we're all brothers through the bloodstream. And especially the blood of the Lamb. He says, because we're all the same blood. The color of our skin, where we live, has nothing to do with it. We're all brothers. And Jesus was speaking to the woman at the well who was different than him. Now, I'll read one more. Speak to this mountain, 1957, Brooklyn, paragraph E47. It says, it's in the prayer line again. It says, this woman is a colored woman. I'm a white man. If this isn't a picture again of the woman at the well, a Jew and a Samaritan, Jesus let her know that there was no racial lines in God. She was trying to bring up all these racial things, and Jesus was saying, that's nonsense. God's not interested in those things. God's seeking for spiritual worship. Stay as a Samaritan, but worship in spirit and in truth. Let me stay the way that I am and worship in spirit and in truth. That's what he was trying to say to her. The prophet says, it doesn't matter the color of your skin. That has nothing to do with God. We're everyone from the same tree exactly. Yellow, brown, black, white. The country we're raised in has nothing. The color of our skins no more than the others. Nothing to do with God. By one God, blood, God made all men. But we get away from that. And then we start having wars and fights. And the Tutsis are murdering the Hutus or whatever. And the Shonas are persecuting the Ndebeles. And the Zulus are fighting against the Khoisas. And the Khoisas are fighting against the Sutus. That's the devil among men. That's what it is. God doesn't want it to be like that. Finally, show us the Father. The prophet says, it was never intended for men to rule one over the other. We have one God. And the color of a man's skin has nothing to do with his soul. We all come from one blood. We all have the same color soul. That's what we have. But when you get beyond the curtain of time, you're still going to have the same color skin. I'm still going to have the same color skin. That's what God wanted you to be. That's how you're always going to be. So why should we try to change it now? Why should we try to change our identity? It doesn't make sense. That's what the prophet's trying to teach us in the message. So I think we've made it clear enough just in the short space of time that we've had and have got to make it clear, friends, it wasn't one racist bone in the prophet's body. That's lies, that. Those people don't know the spirit of the message. They don't know. They've never got into the message themselves. That's nonsense. That's lies from hell when people say those kind of things. Absolute lies from hell. Don't even listen to people like that. They're not worthy even given 2 seconds of hearing. Nonsense. The prophet had not a racial speck. He used to, he said, before he was born again. He said, I used to think I was better than another man. He says it in the message. Because that's the way that he grew up. He grew up in a society where African people were looked down on. I grew up like that as well. I used to think I was better than another man. Until I got born again. When I got born again, then I knew that God knows no color. God knows no creed. God knows no thing. That's all just the traditions and doings of man. Now let's have a look at the second thing, because this one really grieves me when I hear people say it. People say, okay, I'll read the quote. I don't know if I put it on there. No. If you go back up just to the picture, please, is that. This is the quote from Condemnation by Representation, 1960, paragraph 135. This is where saints isolate a quote and they're going to misuse it. And I'll explain that to you. The prophet says, high breeding. Oh, how terrible high breeding. They high breed the people. New York, the great melting pot. I've got hundreds of precious colored friends that's born again Christians. But on this line of segregation, which was Luther King and that move, yeah? And things they're talking about, hybriding the people. What? Tell me what a fine cultured, fine Christian colored woman would want her baby to be a mulatto by a white man. No, sir. Let's stay what God made us. I believe it's right. So people now take that and say, if a person's mixed race, they're a hybrid. Like a mule. A mule is a hybrid. Or like Cain. Cain was a hybrid. And people will actually say, people have told me in the message that mixed race people won't make heaven. Won't be in the rapture. Friend, that is perverting this message. That is an absolute perversion of the representation of the truth of this message. I've heard people say that. They say that. And that's what I want to speak about, hybriding. Joshua, what really is hybriding? Let's look at this. Hybrid. The definition of a hybrid, yeah? A thing made by combining two different elements. Yeah? So you take a horse and you take a donkey, you're going to make a mule. You're taking two different elements. You take Eve, you take the serpent, you're going to make Cain. A different element. You see, they're close enough. Similar chromosomes. I think a horse is 76. I think a donkey is 72 or something. You make a mule something like 74 chromosomes. They're close enough that they can mix their seed. But they're not the same gene pool. They're not the same species. But if you take any color of person with any other color of person, you're not hybriding within a species. I'll show you just now what the prophet's meaning. Because we're all human beings. We all come from the same ancestor. So it's not that kind of hybriding the prophet's speaking of. Let's look at the next type of hybriding you can have. In biology now, the definition of a hybrid, the offspring of a reproductive cross between genetically dissimilar individuals. No, so the gene pool. So you're taking something which is different genetically and you're mixing them and you're making something which is different than both of them. But if you take any race of people, you're going to take a black man, you're going to take a mixed race woman, put them together, it's the same number of genes. And the child is still going to have the same number of genes. So that's not the type of hybriding the prophet's speaking of. You're not making another species. Every one of us are human beings. For example, a mule. That's the example from there. Let's have a look at the third one. Now we start understanding it better. In sociology now, to hybrid. A person or group of persons produced by the interaction or crossbreeding of two unlike cultures and traditions. So when you take people with different traditions and bring them together, you've made a hybrid. You see? When you're telling a person, okay, you Chinese, forget about being a Chinese, you know, you mix together, you marry this person who's white and take and make a mixture of your traditions. That's hybriding just as much as any other type of hybrid. Now this is the type of hybriding the prophet's saying God doesn't want this. If God made you a certain culture, of a certain type of tradition, a certain upbringing, stay that way. But when you don't stay that way, you are producing a hybrid. It's a hybrid tradition. It's a hybrid culture. Can you see what I'm saying, saints? Can you see? If you mix any color of person, you're not making a different species. You're not doing that. I'm going to prove it just now with many examples. Because I know that one needs to be proved. Because this is the major point which we need to get out of our minds. Doesn't matter what color people are. The prophet's saying we shouldn't marry among these cultures and colors. We shouldn't. But if somebody did go and do it, I'll show you. They're still human beings. Amen. Doesn't mean they're not human. They're not that kind of a hybrid. But it's this cultural one. It's this interbreeding of Ham and Shem and Japheth and the nations that have come out from them and the colors and the diets and all these different things. This is where you start having problems now. No, because you have different traditions and diets and all these things, and you're bringing people who have got diverse backgrounds together. The prophecy shouldn't be like that. And then you're getting children that are different than you. You know, it ends up like that. The next one, look at the fourth one. The definition of a hybrid. Anything of mixed ancestry is a hybrid. I think every one of us here is a hybrid. I'm a hybrid. My mother's father was Swiss. My mother's mother was German. My father's father was French. My father's mother was Scottish. So in that sense, I'm a hybrid. It's a mixture of things. But it didn't change me from being the color that I am. You know, it didn't do that. And I'm sure many of us here, if you went into your ancestry and went and traced back to see who's really in your ancestry, you'd be shocked. You know, the Afrikaans in South Africa, they're the biggest racists in the world, yeah, if they're not born again. They believe they're better than anybody else. They went and tested their blood and they found out on average, every Afrikaans person has 7% African blood in them. You see, they also got that hybrid inside from all the mixing that's gone on. I've said maybe African people in Africa are probably the most pure in different nations because, you know, the rest of civilization, the Roman Empire and all of that, it just mixed everything together. So you find Irish people, what do they say they are? They're from the Vikings. But they say genetically they've got a lot in common. They've got the same gene pool as people from Spain. So that's a hybrid. It's a hybrid of ancestry. So there's different types of hybriding. So when the prophet calls something a hybrid, be careful how you interpret that. Don't take that and say, now a mixed race person is like Cain who was a hybrid. There's different types of hybriding. That's how you'll understand what the prophet's saying. Otherwise, you're going to make the message contradict itself, friends, and we're going to be in a lot of trouble here. Now, the prophet says it in the message. It wasn't so from the beginning. 1961, April 11th, paragraph E50. Now look how he uses hybriding in different ways. He says, in the Old Testament, a child that was hybrid, born out of holy wedlock, could not even come into the congregation of the Lord for 10 generations. Look how he's using hybriding there. He's saying a child born out of wedlock. So be careful how is the prophet. Go and see what he's trying to say. He actually goes on to say it. He says, 400 years to breed out an illegitimate child couldn't come into the congregation of the Lord. Hybriding. A woman vowed to her husband, living with another man, having a baby by him, a horrible thing. So two people the same color. But you've got something which God never intended in that kind of a way. You know, you've got something. But still, Jesus paid the price. Now, let me prove to you now by the grace of God. People are going quiet on these things here. Let me prove on this one of mixed race people from the prophet's own words. God's power to transform, 65:09-11, paragraph 239. Listen, there's one thing I can't do. I can't brag on my ancestors, the prophet says. No. I came through an awful mess. My father was an Irishman. My mother was an Indian squaw. Half Indian. So the prophet was a mixed race man. You see, this is the point which people always miss when they get onto this particular topic. Is that the prophet had Indian blood. Listen how he explains it. My mother was an Indian squaw. Half Indian. Her mother was an Indian drawing a pension. My ancestors and my family tree is terrible. On wings of a snow white dove. Paragraph 149. I went to Mayo Brothers. They examined me. They said, your father was an Irishman and he drank. Your mother being a half Indian, that makes you almost a half breed. Hey. There's people called the British Israelism people, and they believe the only people going in the rapture are people that are descended of the 12 tribes. And they believe the British people are the lost tribes of Israel. We're speaking to one girl. And she said, Brother Branham was a real powerful man, but he's not going in the rapture because he was mixed race. He said, she told me herself. She said, Brother Branham's not going in the rapture because he's not a pure breed. Ha, friends, that's carnality, honestly. It's just foolishness if you think about it. It says, your mother being a half Indian, that makes you almost a half breed. Listen what the prophet says about himself. He careth for you, 1960:03-01, paragraph 70 in Phoenix. My poor dejected friend, if you hear and don't know that he cares for you, I'm a witness, it's the truth. I'm a nervous, upset person. Irish on both sides. They're nervous and drunks. And my mother's a half Indian, which actually by birth makes me a renegade. That's right. I'd be a terrible person, a half-breed almost. You can just go and search in the message for half-breed and see how many times the prophet speaks about this. Now, in Questions and Answers 1964, August the 30th in the evening, paragraph 95, I think the prophet now starts to explain why every time he speaks and says, why would an intelligent young colored woman want to marry a white person and have mixed-race children, mulatto children? I always wondered why the prophet brings it to the children. Until I read this quote. And then I said, oh, now I understand. The prophet says, my mother, as you know, was a half Indian. My father was an Irishman, a Kentucky Irish at that. Both of them had enough temper to fight a buzzsaw. All the time my mouth was mashed because I was little to begin with. Then he speaks about the boys at his school. Them boys beat me because I was a Kentuckian. No other reason. I couldn't even hold my head up. One would hold me by the hands like this. The other would stand there with a rock and pound me in the face till I was lifeless. They would call me a Kentucky squab. Because my mother, when she was young, she sure looked like an Indian. Looking at her picture a while ago. And they knew she was a half Indian. And because I was from Kentucky and her being a squaw, they called me a squab, a Kentucky squab. And had nothing in the world to do with it. So the prophet knew what it was to go through this, friends. He knew what it was to have a father who was one color and a mother that was a different color. And he wasn't quite the same. And have all the children laugh at him and ridicule him because of that. That's why every time, go and search it in the message, when the prophet speaks of this, he speaks about the children. Why do you want to marry someone else and have children another color? And I really believe because the prophet could feel and say, you're going to put pressure on these children. Because now it's different. But imagine this was in America when there was segregation, he was saying these things. This is when there was great social upheaval going on because colored people had to use their own buses. They couldn't use the white people's buses. They had to have different entrances to go into the cinema and different places they had to sit. They couldn't get the same jobs as white people. And the prophet was saying, why do you want to go and marry someone else and have another colored child as well? Our friends, you're putting a serious complication in your life and in the life of your child by doing that, especially in that situation. When I got in the message in South Africa in 1985, it was apartheid. It was apartheid. The house meeting we went to among the Seven Thunder Brothers, it was in the mixed race area of town. We couldn't go into the colored area of town because there were necklacing people. They would put those tires on them and burn them in those days if they caught white people in. We only ever once went into the African township, once, to drop a brother at his house in the middle of the night, and we quickly went out because it was so dangerous. We had to meet in the mixed area of town. So imagine in that kind of a time, if you were like when the prophet was living, if your son came to you and said, Dad, you know, maybe he's white, maybe Daniel comes to you and says, Dad, I want to go and marry that sister who lives in the township there. Would it really make much sense? Is it not putting a lot of pressure? Say, son, do you really know what you're doing? Not only on the cultural side, which you said, not only on keeping your identity that God made you, but even in those days when the prophet was saying, it didn't even make any logical sense. Why would a pretty young colored girl want to marry a white person? It didn't make sense. You're putting such a complication inside of your life. Unnecessary complication. Keep it the way that God made it. Stay the way that God made you. Let it just unfold itself the way that God intended. But now, you ask yourself, why would God allow Elijah to have these different bloods inside of him? Why? He explains it to us. In the message, What Is That in Thine Hand? 1955, 06:11, paragraph E47. He says, as up in the mountains going along, there came along a storm. And I got in behind a tree, and I was standing and the wind blowing. After the storm was over, I had my rifle sitting there and I began to hear the elk herd way ahead of me. They'd got lost in the storm. They were bugling one to another. He says, my mother's a half Indian and it's just enough until I love the outdoors. You see, for Elijah to be a man of the wilderness, he couldn't just be an Irish man. He needed Indian blood because the Indian characteristic inside of him made him love the wilderness. You'll see how many times he says it. Can you see how God knows what he's doing? He knows how to make you the way that you should be. So this is balancing things up now. That the prophet has different mixture of blood inside of him. But he's not a hybrid. In the way that people are trying to say people are hybrids. I am a hybrid from ancestry. He is a hybrid in a way because he had different ancestry in him. But it's not the hybridization of Cain. It's not the hybridization of the mule. This is a mixture of blood here now. A mixture of the same species, the human race, but there's different colors coming together and different things happening. He says it in Behold, a greater than Solomon is here, paragraph E83, 62, 06, 12. says, I remember not long ago, I'm a hunter. I just love to hunt. I hunt in Africa, India, everywhere around the world. My mother was a half-breed, and my grandfather was a noted hunter. His grandfather was a Cherokee Indian, he says. My grandfather was a noted hunter, so I always loved it. That's where he got it from. And God wanted it to be like that, friends. My. But all these people that say these things, they never come and speak these things. I wonder why. They never balance it up. Looking deep calleth to the deep. We know it well. When he speaks about the deep calling to the deep, he says, for instance, I love nature. My mother's a half Indian. And there's just enough about it till I was born and raised in the woods. I've known nothing but outdoors and hunting. That's the reason I was a game warden, working in conservation, always in the woods rambling. That's where he got it from. And God made him like that. God allowed it to be so. He says, I love the mountains. My mother's mother was a full-blooded Cherokee Indian out of the valleys there. And my conversion never taken that away from me. I love nature. In my life story, Los Angeles, we came from not a religious family. My people are Catholic. I'm Irish on both sides. My father is strictly Irish Brennan. My mother is Harvey. Only her father married a Cherokee Indian, so that broke the little line of the blood of the Irish. Ah, friends, but God knows what he's doing. No matter what you are, God wanted you to be the way that you are. Doesn't matter whatever mix, he wanted a certain ding of the bell, the prophet says. He allowed those things to happen according to the workings of his great purpose. Now we'll skip a little bit here just to get a few scriptural examples. Let's go and find certain people in the Bible who were half-breeds, the way that the prophet was speaking about himself. Look in Acts chapter 16, verse 1 and 2. If you could put the scriptures for us, sister, we'll put the scriptures in. Just to show this, that this idea that if people do intermarry from the human race, that they make a hybrid that's disqualified from heaven or can't make the rapture. It's nonsense. Acts 16, verse 1. Then came he, Paul, to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman which was a Jewess. So she was from Shem and believed, but his father was a Greek. His father was from Japheth. Yes, a mixed race man, Timothy, which was reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Him would Paul have go forth with him and took and circumcised him. He hadn't even been circumcised yet because his father was a Greek. Because of the Jews which in those quarters, for they knew that his father was a Greek. Can you see that, friends? God knows what he's doing. God allowed it to be like that. We don't encourage people to do that. The prophet says, don't do it. Stay in your color. Stay in your culture. That's what God wants. But if somebody is mixed race, Brother George is mixed race, Brother David's mixed race, Brother Tony's mixed race, they've got different blood inside of them. I'm sure most of us, if we trace back, we'll find we're not pure because of the way that civilization has mixed us up. Leave it the way that it is. That's how God wanted you to be. Let it be like that. I'll give you an example again from the Bible of somebody who was mixed race. Let's go to Numbers chapter 12, verse 1. In fact, leave that one. Go to Genesis 41, verse 45. Sister, rather just do that one. We'll come back to that one. Genesis 41, verse 45. And Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zaphnath-Paneah. And he gave him to wife Asenath, the daughter of Potiphar, the priest of On. So here's Shem, Joseph. And he has Ham, Asenath. She's from the Egyptians. She's from Ham. And they come together, and Joseph went out, and they married. Chapter 41, verse 50. Let's see their children that were born. And unto Joseph were born two sons before the years of the famine came, which Asenath, the daughter of Potiphar, a priest of On, bare unto him. And Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh. For God, said he, hath made me forget all my toil. Verse 52. And the name of the second call he Ephraim. Ephraim and Manasseh were both half-breeds. They were half. Half this and half that. And what happens to them in the economy of God? Genesis 48, verse 3. When Joseph comes to present his two sons to Jacob. Genesis 48, verse 3. And Jacob said unto Joseph, God Almighty appeared unto me at Luz in the land of Canaan and blessed me. And said unto me, behold, I will make thee fruitful and multiply thee, and I'll make of thee a multitude of people, and will give this land to thy seed for an everlasting possession. Verse 5. And now, thy two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, which were born unto thee in the land of Egypt, before I came unto thee in Egypt, are mine. As Reuben and Simeon, they shall be mine. They were adopted straight in as two of the 12 tribes. So there's a balance here, friends, that I'm trying to say. There's a balance in these things. Let's not be extreme. If you're just going to take those quotes when the prophet says that, be careful. You're not giving a true representation of the whole message. You're going to put people under condemnation. You're going to make people think that they're not children of God and things like that. The prophet never did that. The prophet made it clear right from the beginning. And then Jacob told him, okay, these two sons will become mine. The rest of your children will make the tribe of Joseph. And the rest of his children with Asenath formed the tribe of Joseph now. So they also came into the economy of God. It's a wonderful thing, friends. What about Moses and Zipporah? Gershom. Yeah? What happened to Gershom? He became one of the tribe of Levi, if you go and read in your Bible. But she was from Midian, which is from Ham. He was from Shem. These were different groups, different tribes, complete different backgrounds. And they brought out children, and those children had maybe different, slightly different color skin than them. And though they were in the economy of God. So it's just trying to balance things out, friends, to say, let's do what the prophet says, but let's not be overcritical of other people. What about one that the prophet says? Queen of Sheba, Beaumont, Texas, 610119E, paragraph E62. Up in the north woods where I used to hunt, I hunted with a fellow up there called Bert Cole. Very fine boy, one of the best hunters I ever hunted with. Never had to worry about him. You couldn't lose him. There's a reason why. He knew where he was at, and we loved to hunt with each other. But he was one of the meanest men I ever seen in my life. Cruel-hearted. He was another kind of a half-breed. A fine fellow, about a half-Indian also. So Brother Bram was the same, and he found a man who was the same as him. He thought, hey, this man's a half Indian like me, and this man loves the woods. And Brother Bram led the man to Christ. And finally, Bert Cole saw that mother deer coming out, that show of Jen and mother, and he repents and says, lead me to this Jesus. Brother Bram says, he's a deacon in the Baptist church now. He found his place in the economy of God. You'll find it all the way through. What happened to Brother Bram's mother? Sister Ella Branham. If we sing it, half-breeds cannot make it in the rapture. We're contradicting the message. Because Brahma says she was a pure half-breed. Her father was a pure Cherokee Indian. Her mother was an Irish. Sorry, her mother and the other way around. Listen what the Brother Ram says in the message as we come to a close. Spirit of Truth. 1963, 18th January, paragraph 256, Phoenix. Brother Ram says, he's speaking about a vision that he saw. Many people know it, of his mother. She'd already passed away. And the prophet says, I was standing before this great group of people, great congregation. I was leading the singing, and I had on a dark suit. I was singing, bring them in. And there was like a box up here where the celebrities sat. And the pulpit was close to that, and I was leading the songs. And I was standing there, and I was looking at myself in the vision. And he says, and I noticed a renowned person come back to the back of the place. And I said, well, they're going to come up to the celebrity box. This is a vision. And they came walking up this way. And I thought, well, I'll sing one more time while that lady is coming. She was dressed real old-fashioned. And everybody, she was coming up, and everybody was respecting this lady. And I said, she'll go to the celebrity box. And I said, once more on this side, bring them in. Now over here, bring them in. And then in the middle, all together now, bring the little ones to Jesus. And as I said that, this lady had already entered the box. And I could see when she entered the box, everybody stood up. And they were kind of doing this to recognize her. And she was recognizing them. And I thought, well, it's time for me to preach. I need to go and pray for the sick people. And I thought, well, now the lady will bow to me, so I'll just recognize her. And when I turned around, I raised my head up. It was Mama. Young and pretty. And I looked at her and I said, Mama. And she said, Billy. And the lightning began to flash around in the building, and the thunders roared, and a shaking came, and a voice said, do not fear about your mother. She's the same way she was in 1906. And I said, what's 1906? And he was in the vision, and Sister Media was next to him and said, what's the matter? I said, honey, 1906, what was 1906? I said, I was in a vision and I saw Mama standing right here. And I went and I got the old family records. And you know what she was in 1906? My father's bride. That's the year she married. Now she's part of another bride. The bride of the Lord Jesus. Ah, friends. Let's be balanced about these things, please, friends. Otherwise, we're going to exclude a lot of people from the kingdom of God that are already in the kingdom of God, that are in the bride. Let's be balanced about it. So let's finish with the quote once again, just to really nail it home what the prophet's telling us here. This is from Questions and Answers, number 4, 640830E, question 425. Now, like I was explaining, the background now of what was happening in America at that time, you'll understand, because you will never believe a believer can ask a question like this. Listen to the question. Can a person be a Christian and dislike colored people? Does God not want them to be treated like us because they're dark in color? What do you suggest in this? Do you believe in integration or segregation? Friends, there must have been problems in the church. There must have been believers who didn't like colored people. The prophet says, I believe in integration. No matter what his color is or who he is, he's just a man like I am. That's exactly. And I believe if they'll just leave those colored people alone and them communists don't get out there and inspire them. You see, what was happening, if you go and read what was happening there, that there was segregation, but the Communist Party was the only party that allowed integration. If you join the Communist Party, the whites and the blacks and everyone would be together. And that's a problem every time he says it's communist. Because they were trying to stir up a revolution by using that as the fuel on the fire. So the prophet says it's communist. It says now the genuine, real colored people. There's a genuine bunch of born again colored saints in them people. Yes, indeed. Just because my skin is white and theirs dark, that doesn't mean one thing to me. He's my brother in Christ. That's why I differ with the Afrikaans message. They didn't even believe those people had a soul. That's what got me disliked down there. That's why the Afrikaans people gave him a hard time and didn't want him back and different things. Why? Because Brethren stood up all the time for the African people. When those Afrikaans people were driving fast through the villages and saying, it doesn't matter about, you know, those derogatory terms they used. Brethren would say, that's a man with a boy that's got a soul just as much as your son's got a soul. Shame on you. And the prophet got unpopular with the Afrikaans people because of that. He says, some of the finest people I ever met in my life is some of them colored people. Some of them's renegades just like the white people or the yellow people or the brown people. Yes, indeed. Then he kicks in. Next paragraph. Now, I don't believe in mixing marriages. I believe a white man should not marry a colored girl. Or a colored girl marry a white man. Or a yellow marry a colored. I believe the brown, black, white races of people are like a flower garden of God. And I do not believe they should be crossed up. I believe that's the way God made them. I believe that's the way that they should remain. It fools me to see why some real pretty colored girl, every time you're saying a real pretty colored girl, an intelligent, he's not speaking down against colored people, he's speaking up about God. Why would an intelligent pretty colored girl want to go and marry a white person, he said. I seen some real pretty colored girl, intelligent, nice looking kid, just as pretty as ever, any woman you'd want to see. What does she want to marry a white man and have mulatto children for? What would an intelligent colored girl want with such a thing as that? Or a fine colored man want to marry a white woman and so forth? He says, why would they want to do that? Now you'll ask yourself, what is God's will for your life? God's perfect will, obviously, is for you to marry from your people. It was always like that from the beginning in every culture in society. It's civilization mixes things up. But if somebody did go and do it, is there any sin in that and you've got other children? We saw it with the prophet, we saw it with Ella Branham. I would never do that. I was in our church in Zimbabwe for years, the only white person. I once went and spoke to our pastor. He was an African man, Pastor Gubura. I asked him, I said, why can't I marry somebody else? He says, no, brother, stay the way that you are. God one day will take you somewhere, you'll find your own people of your own color. Go and marry from there. And I respected him for that. That's why I married late in life. Because I respected that. But friends, I'm not a fanatic about that. I'm not a fanatic. We'll see it next time. The prophet says, if somebody is a mixed race person, like say Brother George. Brother George isn't colored, he's mixed. He's already got white blood and different blood in him. Brother Branham was mixed race. He went and married Sister Mida, who was a white girl. Can you see that? Brother says, after three, you bring it back to the original color once again. We were always taught that in Zimbabwe. If somebody is mixed race, no, let them marry, whichever way that they want, because you're going to bring it back. But if you're a colored person, why not stay within what God has given you as inheritance? If you're a white person, why not stay with your culture, your language, your traditions, your diet? It's going to make things a lot easier, friends. That's why I'm sure any person would sincerely pray and seek the leadership of God. I don't really believe God would want to lead you to go and marry someone of a completely different color, of a different tradition, and all those different kinds of things. I don't really believe that. I don't know. Maybe you might believe that, but I don't. That was the prophet. The prophet's not saying, thus saith the Lord. This is the opinion of a Holy Ghost-filled man. And friends, the prophet's opinion, I take it any day above any other opinion on the face of the earth. I'll take his opinion on these when he says, I believe. That's what he says. And if the prophet says it, that's good enough for me. And I'm sure it's good enough for you. Let's stand, saints. If anybody has any further questions just down that line, please let us know. Because it's a good thing to be one in these things. You know, to have a unity of the faith, a unity of understanding. So if anybody asks a question, we all have the same understanding because we all have one message, one resource, one Bible. We don't have two different resources that we get the answers from. So I think it would really help us if it really come to a unity of the faith. So if anything wasn't clear, please feel free to ask so we can make it clear again before next time.
I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Yeah.
you're redeemed, when you're redeemed, the spirit that's in you is the same spirit that's in me. It's exactly the same. The same Holy Ghost that quickens your soul. The same Holy Ghost that is a deep, that's calling to a deep that is in God. It's exactly the same spirit. And you'll ask yourself and say, but you know, God came down, and when Jesus came, he was a Jew. He wasn't a Jew. Jesus was born of a virgin. In order for God to redeem Ham, Shem, and Japheth's fallen races, he had to take on olive skin. He had to come on earth with a color of dust, the same as the color of the lineage of Shem. But the Bible says we're redeemed by the blood of God. He was virgin born. He wasn't born of Mary. He wasn't born of the Jews. He was Emmanuel. He was God who came as a man. His blood was the blood of God himself. And he shed that blood to redeem every tribe, every culture, every nationality. That's why you find in the book of Revelation, all tribes, all nations, when the seals were opened, they worshipped. Because friends, that great one who came to redeem us, he had to have an earthly color when he was born. He had to have a body of flesh to be crucified and shed his precious blood. But that was God coming as a man. And he redeemed the black man. He redeemed the mixed race person. He redeemed the red man. He redeemed the yellow man. He redeemed the Japanese, the Chinese, the Hutu, the Tutsi. Doesn't matter what tribe or people that it is. He died to atone for the sins of the world. And friends, once you've met him and he changes your soul, you don't look at your brother or sister and say, I'm better than them, or I'm superior to that person. You'll never do it. The prophet says no person can stand in the presence of God and condemn any other mortal. You can't do it, friends, when he's redeemed. Let's sing one more, bro, if you wouldn't mind.
There's never been a day. There's never been a day like this day. There's never been a day like this day. There's never been a day like this day I see. There's never been a day that shines so bright as this day. This glorious day. There's never been a day like this day I see. There's never been a light that shines so bright like this day. This glorious day.
You feel it inside of yourself. It's a glorious day. Aren't you glad that he called you in this hour? Friends, I'm glad that he called me together with you.
Hallelujah.
And I'm glad to be associated with all different colors, all different nations, people from Ghana, people from Congo, people from Zimbabwe, people from Romania, people from Brazil, people from whoever. Friends, this is God's great garden. And every single person, God put them here for a purpose. There's something in your temperament, something in your calling, something that
Hallelujah.
If you just get in the spirit, you can contribute to, which no one else can contribute. You can do something here which no one else can do. And that's how God knows what He's doing.
Hallelujah.
Let's finish with that song. They come from the east and west. They come from the lands afar to dine with the King, to feast at His guests. How blessed we pilgrims are.
They come from the east and west. They come from the lands afar to feast with the King, to dine at His guests. How blessed these pilgrims are. Jesus is coming soon. Our trials.
light of the fact that He set us free. Why don't we just pray and worship Him before we go from this place tonight? Don't you want to just say thank you to Him for His goodness and His patience and His mercy to you? Oh, if you've got nothing to thank Him for, why don't you thank Him for dying on the cross for you? Why don't you call upon His name and meet Him, and then you'll want to thank Him for His goodness and His grace and His mercy. Let's all spend a short time in prayer, friends. Let's come before the Lord before we depart from this place to worship and to thank Him. Father, we just want to thank You upon this night that You are good, Father, that You are merciful, Lord. We just want to thank You, Lord, for Your grace. We just want to thank You.
Where they be, Lord, save Your Father, illness, Lord. Father, where they be, Lord, work, whatever the circumstance, Lord. Father, You undertake, Lord, and give grace, Lord. Let me meet, Lord, even in the next service, Lord, Savior God. Father, we glorify Thy name tonight, Lord. We praise Thy Lord, Savior name, from everlasting to everlasting, Lord. Father, we bless Your name this night, Lord, and guide us and bless us as we
and bring it before Thee, Lord, upon this day. Would you close your eyes, brother?
Heavenly Father,
yes, Lord,
we are so thankful this evening, O Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Like we sang that song, there is light, O Lord.
Amen.
It's never shined so clear, O Lord.
O Lord.
We are so thankful that You brought this word, O Lord, word of deliverance, O
yes,
Lord.
Lord.
May that word, O Lord, deliver many people, Lord.
Amen, Lord.
With those questions, O Lord,
Amen.
Uncertainty, whatever it is, O Lord.
Amen.
May that Your word bring something, O Lord, what is certain, O Lord, in
Hallelujah.
Our lives, O Lord.
Yes,
that
Lord.
We have never any more questions, O Lord.
Amen.
You, O Lord, paid price for us.
Hallelujah.
You redeem us on Calvary, O Lord.
Yes,
O Lord,
Lord,
we are so thankful, even
Amen.
Thinking about my life. Maybe I'm mixed, whatever, O Lord, but I'm thankful for Your blood. You
Hallelujah.
Paid on Calvary, O Lord.
Yes.
That's sure, O Lord.
Amen.
I'm so thankful, O Lord, even this evening time,
Amen.
That we can sing songs of glory, O Lord.
Hallelujah.
That You can fill our heart with Your spirit, O Lord. That we can be sure that You love us, O Lord.
Yes,
Lord. O help us, O Lord, to stay in line, like
Amen.
Word of prophecy came to us, O Lord.
Amen.
We are so thankful for those things, O Lord.
Hallelujah.
O Lord, You lead us, You guide us.
Amen.
When we leave this place, O Lord, be with us, O Lord. When we
Hallelujah.
Depart from this place,
yes,
be with us on our roads, O Lord, home. Bless our families, O Lord.
Amen.
Bless our children, O Lord.
Amen.
May they grow in
yes.
mercy and grace upon Your upon Your glory, O Lord.
Amen.
May they grow in knowledge of You, O Lord. We ask, O Lord, those
yes,
things.
Lord. Yes,
what we
Lord.
Can't do, You do it, O Lord.
Yes.
You protect them.
Amen.
You protect us, O Lord.
Yes, Lord.
We are so thankful, O Lord.
Amen.
We ask for restoration of strength of our pastor, Lord.
Please,
he laid
Lord.
Many things aside, O Lord.
Amen.
His family, his time, many things, O Lord.
O Lord.
Maybe to spend time with children, O Lord.
O Lord.
You bless him there, O Lord.
Please, Lord.
You restore those things,
Hallelujah.
O Lord. You bless
yes, Lord.
His children, O Lord.
Please, Lord.
You are watching over our lives.
Amen.
We try our
yes.
best. But
yes,
Lord,
yes.
You can do what we can't do, O Lord.
Amen.
O Lord, we commit our ways into Your hands, O Lord.
Hallelujah.
Even our families, whatever we do,
Amen.
Lord, may everything will be for glory
yes.
of Your name, O Lord.
Amen.
We commit our ways, everything into Your hands, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Saints, let's sing one as we dismiss. God be with you until we meet on Sunday by the grace of God. Amen. Let's sing. Do you have one? Yeah. Sorry. Good.
Isn't He wonderful?
He's wonderful,
wonderful.
Isn't Jesus my Lord
wonderful?
Eyes have seen,
ears have heard
what's been.